Hello, and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, welcome back to the City on a Hill podcast. I am Eric.
And I'm Scott.
And we want to continue the conversation around civil or civic religion. We talked about it last episode and described the fact that our nation, if you look around, there is the rituals, the symbols, the holidays, the even martyrs that are the key trappings to a religion. And if you're looking around, especially as a Christian, it can look like some type of Christian religion, something at least derived from Christianity. And we described something distinct from Christianity last time, but something the nation does regardless, to put together a framework, to put together some type of spiritual practice or even moral framework to allow people to be more governable. And we use that word a bunch, and it can be hard to say, so we decided to keep using it. But today we want to talk about more the theological underpinnings of those ideas. Why is it that a nation would think we need to have a religion of any sort? We hear about wanting to be a secular nation, something free from religion. But regardless, people keep putting religion, or at least religious trappings, into practice, because I think it's part of our nature. So let's talk about that a little bit today. And I just want to start with the idea that humans, by design, are worshipers. So if you recall, we did a theology of a biblical theology of kingdom. We walked from creation, we went to the fall, we went to redemption and restoration. We did that with kingdom. We could do that with humans as worshipers as well. We're not going to do four episodes of that, but we could. Just know that we could. And at the very beginning, humans are designed, created, made as image bearers, and they reflect back God to himself. That's who we are. That's who we're designed to be. And as reflectors of God, we are designed to be in relationship with God. We're designed as people who are supposed to worship God. And if we decide to worship someone other than God, the creator God, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, the one who sent God, Jesus, to rescue us, if we decide to worship something other than that, or if we decide not to worship God, we're going to worship something other than that. We have that in Romans 1. Paul talks about, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. They claiming to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. This is a negative example, but it shows that if you're not going to worship God as creator, you're going to put your worshiping self in the direction of something else. And it could be something made up. It could be a different God that you serve, but you're going to worship something, because we are worshiping things or worshiping creators or creatures.
Now, I just would interject here, Eric, because I don't think that when we're talking about the civic religion in America, we're really talking about worship necessarily. We're talking about that religion functioning more on a horizontal level. With, and even in the words of Benjamin Franklin or George Washington, in functioning with respect to the way that I treat other people, that's the function of the religion. It is almost a horizontal religion. The value of the vertical dimension would be that it endows human beings with certain rights. And I think that if you were to say, how does the image of God play in? I think that is part of the image of God playing into even the founding documents in America, is that the creator or the God of the Bible that we believe in did give us, made us in his image, and that does change the game as far as how valuable people are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's, you know, whether that's what they meant to reflect or not, that's probably there. That, but most of it, there is words about divine judge and this and that. So there's some of that, but it's not, doesn't strike me as primarily worshipful.
Mm.
Strikes me as primarily utilitarian, that if I am religious, I will be nicer to you and you will be nicer to me if you're religious than if you're not, which is kind of interesting. And I don't know, I'm thinking about what you're talking about with the desire to worship, and thinking Ecclesiastes, where it says that God's placed eternity in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
There is this desire for transcendence and desire for something beyond what we experience every day. And I don't know if that's what the civic religion satisfies or not. But anyway, that's the only reason I say something, is because I'm not sure that it's really that transcendent as we think of it.
Right. And yeah, I agree. I agree, especially with the thing you mentioned about image bearing. I think that is a glad derivative we have in our civil religion from Christianity, is that people have rights. Individuals have rights, not just groups of people. And I think that's a win for us, something derived from Christianity. I think I'm more talking about the, if we are worshiping people, and if worship eventually practically has some religious components to it, the ease with which we put on the trappings of civic religion come from the posture we have as worshiping things, as worshiping creatures. And in addition to that, I think you're right. I don't think there's a transcendence often to the civic religion. And I think we still throw ourselves to, if we're not going to worship God, if we're not going to worship Yahweh, let me be specific, Yahweh, Jesus. If we do not worship the Trinitarian God of the Bible, we're going to give ourselves to something else. We'll easily take these civic trappings. Those are easy to take on, but we're going to throw ourselves to something else. And you can see that in our devotion to things that do not hold the weight of transcendence, like worshiping the God of the Bible would. I read, it was in the Atlantic, I read an article called America Without God by Shadi Hamid, and an interesting thinker, a Muslim thinker, and he was just describing, if we do not have religion in this country, we give ourselves to something else. We give ourselves with the same fervor with which we would worship a God. His God would be different than my God, but I think his point is the same. And we could point to a bunch of things that people give themselves to with the fervor that they would give themselves if they were in a relationship with God or a religious relationship. I think of the way people can engage patriotism. That can be the same type of fervor. You see the same, and Shadi actually mentioned this in the article, we give ourselves in the same degree to social justice, and those would be capital S, capital J, that idea, that almost a form of an idea that is carried out with a religious fervor. And I think even now, partisan politics is becoming something that is devoted to in a religious way. I find my identity in these things, whether it's patriotism or social justice or partisan politics, because we are worshiping creatures. If we are not worshiping the creator, we're going to give ourselves to something else, and we're going to bring with us that same fervor that we should have brought to the God of the Bible. And
well, that
yeah, go ahead.
That is one of the things that actually got me kind of started in, I don't know, willing to do a podcast, willing to think about this, was just an article I read, and I don't even remember where, that talked about how there is a religious component to the intent to please other people or to avoid the judgment of other people. This was back when it was, when silence was complicity, and back in the last summer when there was a lot of pressure to speak up for racial justice and that sort of thing. And I read an article that suggested that that kind of pressure to conform, that kind of pressure to please the masses or please the social voice was religious in nature. And I began to think, just like you're suggesting, that there is a religious aspect to the public life in America, even without all of the symbols, even without all of the history or the holidays or whatever. There is this religious, I'm going to say, conformity that is expected of people even without a formal religion.
Yeah. And I want to encourage us, as we're thinking about this, there's nothing inherently broken about patriotism or social justice or politics in general. Those things are good things, but they can't hold the weight of transcendence. They can't hold the weight of worship.
They're not ultimate things.
They're not ultimate things. We're making secondary things ultimate things. And I always go back to Mark 12:30. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That is worship. That's full body, full life worship. And I see us as fellow creatures giving ourselves to that degree to these things that can't be ultimate things. I see people, we've seen all of these things, like with the patriotism, it's God and country. Okay, you're elevating a patriotism to a body, soul, mind, and strength level worship, and it can't hold that. It can't define your identity like belonging to the God of the universe can define your identity. So I guess this is all just a caution to remind us we are worshiping people. We are automatically postured to worship. And if we don't worship the thing we ought to worship, the God we ought to worship, we're going to worship something else. And the trappings all around us of our country in a civic religion fashion are designed to encourage our posture towards our country in a way that would be idolatrous if we give our worship that direction.
Well, let me just go a couple steps farther, because I think, you know, we saw this at the Capitol on January 6th, where there were prayers, where there were singing of hymns, all of this as people stormed the Capitol, that it was somehow this strange welding of Christianity and patriotism together that frankly, I think was awful for both. And I don't think that there would be any way that you would say, really, if you were actually deriving what you believe from the scriptures, that you would say, God says, storm the Capitol.
Right.
And I don't think that you're having a cross there. The cross and the Capitol are two separate spheres, two separate entities. And it just, I don't know, it just didn't work. And I think what happens is you have, it's just even hard to explain, I guess, in my thinking, the destruction of Christianity, really, and of patriotism, when you try and get the two in bed together, like happened that day.
Right. Yeah, it is awful. I think you elevate patriotism to one degree, and this is how we're going to identify ourselves. So you make a secondary thing an ultimate thing, and it breaks it. And then you, frankly, bastardize Christianity in the process and take all the illusions and put things together in a way that's not helpful and make an amalgam with patriotism. And you've lost both. We're not even talking about the same things anymore. And it's not helpful.
Well, it is interesting that the founders, you started this episode off by saying that the civic religion was, you might say, derived from Christianity. And they did that in explicitly in service of the country so that it would help people be moral and easy to govern and kind to their neighbor, and the country would be better. So the religion was in service of the country, and they did it by pulling Christianity out and not making it Christian, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting. And I don't know, I would be willing to say that worked. It's worked for a couple hundred years anyway. When you put Christianity in, though, and make Christianity somehow serve, when you bring the cross and hymns and prayers and all that into what happened earlier this year at the Capitol, that doesn't work. Christianity does not bow to the state in that same way, nor does it serve the state in that same way.
That's really good. Christianity, or the God of Christianity, is not the servant of the state. All the states, all the governments are servants of the God of Christianity. And when you flip those, everything is broken.
In some respects, it's probably really good that our founders excised Christianity mm-hmm. out of that civic religion mm-hmm. so that we didn't end up with this strange mixture. It's close enough, but it wasn't necessarily what we see with the hymns and the prayers and everything from earlier this year. And so the reason we're talking about this, let me just go back to that again, is that there is a sense in which we hear the language of divine providence or creator or divine judge, and we think, if you're a Bible believing Christian, you think, oh, he's talking about Christianity, when in effect they are purposefully not talking about Christianity. And there is this sort of religious rationalism that was the, you might say, the founding principle of the founders, that it just wasn't Christianity. And when you make it Christianity, then you start having to defend the country in order to defend Christianity. That I think is where the problem comes in. You have to stand up for the country in order to be appropriately Christian. And that's why I want to keep them separate. I think they were separate, but I want to keep them separate because I want you to be able to stand up for Christianity or for the God of the Bible or for salvation by faith, by grace through faith, without having to also vote for a certain candidate or pledge your allegiance to something other than God as well. So that, I think, is why it's important to me anyway to talk about this civic religion and make sure that it's distinguished from Christianity so that we don't end up trying to defend our country, which cannot be perfect, really, right, with the same fervor or in the same breath as we would defend or stand up for our faith.
That's good. That's good. Well, I hope that's helpful for everyone. We want you to give your worshipful posture to the God of the Bible, and that will allow you to engage in a sober fashion the country in which you live. And you don't have to mix those, which will mess things up. So keep them separate. That's going to be so helpful for you. You don't need to engage civil religion because you have worship of the God of the Bible. So engage that direction. I think next time we've been talking about the God of the Bible, we can maybe talk about some other gods. We'll leave that as a little teaser. Exodus 20 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." There must be some other gods of some other nations. So we'll talk about that next time. That should be a sufficient teaser to have you coming back.
It's going
to
get freaky, let's just say.
So until the next freaky time, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. We have some 5-star ratings. We have some 1-star ratings. Let's get some more 5-star ratings to counteract the 1-star ratings. That'd be fantastic. If you find what we're doing helpful, a review would go a really long way. If you could write a little blurb for us, that would help people find us in an easier way. And share it with a friend. Send the podcast to them, especially if you find this helpful. If you have questions, send them to podcast@newlifenw.com. And we look forward to the next conversation. Yeah.